the top players and legends to the very best analysts around the world from wherever the beautiful game is played. This is BTP. Now, we're talking football.
Yes, hello folks, welcome to Beyond the Pitch. I'm your host, Phil Brown, as always, and absolutely delighted to be joined here with the magnificent Graham Hunter. Of course, you can catch Graham on Twitter at BumperGraham, and man, very much in demand at the moment to get some clarification on everything that's going on in Barcelona right now. Massive story. But before we get into that, I want to mention something that will be of interest to a lot of our listeners, certainly to myself. Graham sat down with Robbie Keane, done an interview, about an hour and 20 minutes. Fantastic interview. Spoke about LA, spoke about his legacy out here, his time with Beckham. So much in that interview. Probably one of the longest interviews, if not the longest interview Robbie's done. Such a fascinating guy who, of course, was very, very popular out here in Los Angeles. You, of course, can get that interview if you want. You can follow Graham at BumperGraham on Twitter, or you can go to the website patreon.com. That's patreon.com/ Graham Hunter, the big interview. You'll find it there. Lots of other exceptional content as well. This guy provides the benchmark for so many of us doing this podcast thing, but where we all want to go. So if you get a chance, go listen to that, folks, because it's top class. Graham, how you doing, mate?
My cheeks are glowing rosy red with embarrassment, because although I do appreciate you pushing forward the big interview, See, my mum wouldn't talk that nicely about me. And I think I also now, this is bringing back to me, the last time I did Beyond the Pitch, I think you were that blooming kind about me last time too. So listeners, the man who hosts the show, so you're one hell of a guy. So let me now try and repay you by answering some of your questions.
I appreciate that. That's why you're here. And in all honesty, we know how difficult this is. So someone that does this on a regular basis, I appreciate when it's done well. So Graham, let's talk about Barcelona. Because there's so much going on out there right now. It's a constantly evolving story. So much to unpack. Where will Barcelona play? What's going to happen? Espanyol, Girona. Summarize this for me.
No, it's a very hard thing to do. Let me just try and give some framework so that you can then pick at me again. Because it's not what you or I set out to do in our career to say, I don't know. I don't know doesn't separate us from the man or woman training and playing or at the bar watching their favourite team. But I don't know is an honest response for, you know, a journalist on a podcast where we try to bring the truth. Because, you know, even before you begin to talk in any possible way about Football Club Barcelona and its future, you know, I'm living in probably... or it's certainly one of the most confused civil states that I've ever lived in since I was born in 1963. There were times when I lived in the UK when there were riots in the street. There have been times when the UK went into wars where I thought that the public was lied to and misled. But I'm living in a city right now where if it wasn't, and it wasn't quite martial law on Sunday, I saw violence that was akin to Clockwork Orange. I saw violence which visually reminded me of General Franco's time and scared friends and neighbours of mine who lived through the dictatorship. And today there's been an enormous, absolutely enormous, overwhelmingly attended rally against the violence which started at 11 o'clock this morning and didn't really tail off until right now, when outside this office there are helicopters in the sky, there are sirens everywhere. What stood out about the Catalans at the weekend on Sunday was how peacefully they behaved. The fact that they had a message that they wanted to show the world absolutely without any form of retaliation, any bile, any nastiness. They managed that. And the fact that so many of the 2.5 million people who are said to have voted in favour of independence doesn't automatically, in my mind, mean that Catalonia, as a majority, wants independence. There are 7.5 million people here, not all of them are of voting age, but the overwhelming nature of those who voting for independence tells you that this movement has gathered strength. But when the president, who won't be famous in the States, Puigdemont, when the president of Catalonia, which is a semi-autonomous region right now, says we're considering, you know, unilaterally declaring independence, I don't believe that that will be allowed by the Spanish state. I don't believe that it's enforceable unilaterally. They are threatening to put Puigdemont in jail if he does make that, and it's a sacrifice he might be willing to make. So you tell me, in a situation, a civil situation like that, how I'd be a liar if I came on your podcast and began to predict what might happen to football club Barcelona, or to Espanyol, or to Girona, or the other clubs from Catalonia who have played, you know, top level football. Nastic of Tarragona, the list goes on, and I don't believe there's anybody right now. Nobody in the football hierarchy, the league, the federation, or at least of all that. And maybe I'll finish up by saying, like, on Sunday, footballers at Football Club Barcelona, the board, the media, were all caught out by the way in which this civil situation escalated, were caught out by scenes of violence by state police that were not only abhorrent, they were shockingly surprising. And when you see, when you watched footage later that day on your side of the States of Gerard Piqué breaking down in tears, that tells you something more than him being an icon for having voted. It tells you more than should he or will he continue playing for Spain. That is a rock hard, flinty, you know, rich, very, very bright, successful, sometimes brash man who was overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. Now, I think that gives you, from the macro to the micro, that gives you a human perspective of what's going on right now. So if I answer, I don't know, it's because of the societal and civic confusion, not simply the sporting and football confusion.
Given my own upbringing, this is not an unusual sight. I must admit, when I looked at these images on TV, I had to question if I was watching images of my childhood growing up in Belfast, or if this was actually Catalonia. This reminded me a lot of what I would see with the political instability, and of course certain similarities with one ideology of push for freedom and another attempting to douse the flames of people who wanted independence, and it wasn't always done in a pleasant way. We're still dealing with that mess that is unraveling as it is right now. When I look at Barcelona, I see a football club caught in sort of two minds. Obviously, they're a Catalonian football club. They are a club owned by its members, run by its members, that has to adhere to the belief of the people. But surely they need the Liga, and the Liga needs them as much as they need each other.
If I can use my phrase about now going from the micro to the macro, let's use Sunday as a way to give you a flavour of what the answer to your question might be, Phil, because on Sunday, this was a rapidly escalating situation. Mm-hmm. The violence on the streets from early in the morning by black-helmeted, baton-wielding thugs who acted in the name of the state was shocking, and Barcelona tried to postpone. Yes, it was a disgrace. I think it was criminal. They tried to postpone the game. Now, the league and the federation both said the referendum in which these people have taken place, irrespective of them behaving peacefully, the referendum is illegal. Therefore, as state organizations, we can't support you and postpone the game. Las Palmas want to play. The referee is ready to referee. The local Catalan police that we've communicated with say they're willing to guarantee your security. So Barcelona were left alone, not supported by these state organizations, on a basis that I have to say, in pure legal terms, I think it was right by the league and the federation to say, no, you can't. You must take that responsibility yourself. We won't support you. Now, in that instant, a president who I don't approve of, don't support, the president of the football club, Josep Maria Bartomeu, was left with a real sort of Damocles problem. What to do? He sought, you know, you talked about your childhood and you talked about Belfast, and we both know that it's almost impossible to capture what happened there in a phrase. However, what did eventually lead us to wherever we are now in the north of Ireland and in Belfast was some degree of dialogue and compromise.
Yep, absolutely.
Jose Maria Bartomeu, the president of Football Club Barcelona, reached out for his own invented compromise situation. And he went and spoke to his players. He canvassed opinion. Not unanimous, but the majority were in favour of playing. The opposition wanted to play. The referee was ready. The board were split. So, pardon me, there was freedom of expression and not unanimity in the board. And members of report resigned from the board, walked away from the club. Senior members, a vice president, one of their medical specialists, who was involved in one of the most prestigious developments that they've got going at Football Club Barcelona off the pitch at the moment, walked away. Now, Phil, I use that as the micro because Bartomeu reached out for what he thought was the best solution to play the game because he didn't believe that enough on the board or enough of the players were willing to forfeit 6 points and allow the reigning champions, Real Madrid, to suddenly be from a 7-point gap, 10 on the day because Barcelona were going to play earlier and won, down to a 1-point gap. Now, he thought there was no question that security was a risk. He thought that it was a message to the world, we're not happy that you should play in front of closed doors, no fans. And to some extent, here we are. I know you're sitting in beautiful downtown LA. I'm sitting in beautiful downtown Barcelona, and we're still talking about that decision as well as the events in the streets. Now, how can I don't believe that if Barcelona, the board of Barcelona Football Club, are the moving arms and feet, the membership that pay are the brain, in effect, in a situation like this. I don't believe that the president is fully in touch with the membership. Mm-hmm. I believe that the way in which Monday morning greeted Bartomeu and his solution with scathing, coruscating criticism for a man who was already unpopular, irrespective of the fact that I think he reached out for reason and was, he reminded me of, is it Randall Cunningham who used to be the scrambling quarterback for the for the Eagles or Magic Fluton?
Yes.
They were both known for scrambling when you have line nose guards, linebackers cruising down on you. Mm-hmm. He scrambled a solution, and he was absolutely torn to shreds for it the next day. Now you said to me, surely Barcelona and La Liga need each other. I think given the way in which the hardliners, and by which I just mean those who hold their principles most firmly, said, you coward, this is the most shameful game in the history of the club, you should have given the 6 points, to hell with the punishment, our statement should have been, we will not play. It's got the rhythm of No Pasarán. You know what No Pasarán was. They're singing in the streets here, anti-fascista. There is a point reached in this society whereby I do not believe that the current board and the membership who hold the power over that board feel the same. And I can't speak on behalf of the membership, but if you ask my opinion only, would the vast number of Catalan socios, Catalan members, not their international members, feel that it's automatic that they need La Liga? Or would they be willing to make a massive, probably Pyrrhic gesture? I have to say that the tension and the feeling at the moment amongst many of the hardest line socios, members of Football Club Barcelona, might not be to stay at all costs in La Liga. How that might happen, what could be done, where they would play, I have no idea. And to take the other half of your question, do La Liga need Football Club Barcelona? Yes, they bloody well do.
You better believe it, they do. La Liga without Barcelona is unthinkable. Everything is defined by Real Madrid and Barcelona. Look, when I look at this situation, you're quite right. If he had forfeited the 6 points, Barcelona win the league, then it reinforces the point even more. And if they lose the league but by the 6 points, then it continues to reinforce the point that we were willing to sacrifice the league title for our principles. Some things are worth more than a sport and achievement. I think it was the sporting minister of Barcelona said that they would look at Italy, England, possibly France to move Barcelona into. I think privately all three of those leagues would love to have Barcelona. But is that realistic, Graham?
I think maybe beyond the realistic word you've used, I think we have to look at what drives people. And I know at the moment the European Club Association continues to threaten UEFA with, we want the Champions League to be different, we want it to be safer, we want it to be more lucrative. They won't say this out loud, but we want the less chance that a mouse can roar at the elephant, scare the elephant.
Right.
Now, all of us like it when a little mouse can make the elephant trumpet and run away, but the big clubs don't. Now, I can't prove this, and I'm not saying it's fact, but I think that rather than imagining that Barcelona can say to Calcio, listen, never mind promotion from Serie B, at which point some member states in the Italian FA say, whoa, and that debate continues if it's France, and still more particularly in England, where the Championship is full of very powerful clubs that want to be up in the Premier League. The incentive for them being up is absolutely phenomenal. Okay, if you suddenly drop Barcelona into the English Premier League, then yeah, it looks very sexy. But, you know, what virus do you contract as a result of doing something that looks great but you know you shouldn't? Arsene Wenger said something daft. But he said, we will have to let the Scottish clubs in first. Yeah. Now, by which I'm sure he meant Aberdeen, and God love you, Arsene, for that. Because he certainly didn't mean any Glasgow teams like Clyde or Partick Thistle. But I say to you, Phil, seriously, the way it feels to me is that rather than Football Club Barcelona looking left or right or north or south to Italy, France or England, my imagination tells me that they will look to the ECA, the European Clubs Association, and say, here's the catalyst for a European league. Now, can that happen? Would it happen? Should it happen? I don't have these answers because we're dealing in the hypotheses. But I think if I don't believe Catalan independence will happen in my lifetime. There you are.
Okay.
But I think once since I was born, I think maybe once I've been wrong before. So if it happens to be number two, then why would we look for the logical, for the linear solution? I'm not certain that we're in linear times. Therefore, I've started with I don't know. I've tried to paint the picture, and I've given you a hypothesis to chew on, and I don't believe it's a fanciful hypothesis.
Is there a potential that any other nations would be in their interest to back this move for Catalan independence? Most countries, I would imagine, will not recognize it, no matter what happens, unless it's authorized by the Spanish government. But is there a potential for other nations to look at this, potentially nations who also want their own independence? And there's also the issue with the Basques. Is there a potential for other people to look at this and support the Catalans in this movement?
Well, you've teased out the second or third don't know of the show, which is definitely denting my reputation, unless people value truth. It's clear that if you speak within Spain, then you're right on the money. It's not simply that the Spanish central state fears losing the economic motor that Catalonia is. It's the what was once called Hell's Teeth, what did this bring us? Didn't they in the early 60s, I can't remember if it was Lyndon Johnson, who used the phrase the domino effect? Maybe it was Eisenhower.
Yeah, I can't remember.
And the domino effect was talking about we need to be in Asia so that communism isn't there first. And look what the hell happened in the 60s in Vietnam. So, Lyndon Johnson. Yeah. So, gosh, that wasn't too bad for me. Without the loss of life, the principle that scares not just Rajoy, an idiot president, but the central state is that, exactly as you said, that Asturias says the same, that Andalusia says the same. The most obvious is that the Basque Country, certain people there, were willing to resort to illegality and murder. And that, through dialogue and compromise, was resolved. The domino theory is that if Catalonia were granted this or declared themselves independent, that Spain as a nation could disintegrate. Now, we saw that in the Balkan states and
Russia.
Helstice, that didn't go well. So, outside that, you said you actually were talking about other nations. I frankly don't know. It's clear that the United Kingdom has had severe tests about whether it should or could stay together. And I'm not sure what might happen in other larger nation states where there's regional senses of culture and language. I don't know. I'm not that clever. I'm not that educated. But I do know that it isn't simply the loss of Catalonia that the central state in Spain fears.
Lastly, Graham, let's talk about the response to this, because Las Palmas, for the first time in their history, I believe, sewed a Spanish flag into the shirt. Real Madrid fans were asked to raise the Spanish flag in the 12th minute, I believe. Pique has been getting horrendous abuse at the Spanish national team. Monday, where he went, of course, and I think he offered to leave the Spanish national team. I would imagine the response to this has been quite jingoistic and nationalistic outside of Catalonia from the Spanish.
Yeah, so let me go on over. So I just want to, I think it's worth having clarity about Piqué, simply because I know that what was beamed around the world wasn't live transmission. And it looked good, and it was fair enough, that Piqué's words were sent around the world in packages without the questions. And that's a very nice televisual style. It's a very nice radio style. It's good for podcasts too, where you have declarations. But in the mixed zone, which is the area where it's in US sport, hell I know, I went to the Chargers against the 49ers Super Bowl and was shocked as a journalist to be in the locker room 15 minutes after the game finished. That's access.
Yeah.
But in Europe, we have something called a mixed zone where you stand on the other side of maybe a rope or a chain link, and you have a chance to try and catch an athlete who's not obliged to speak to you. But in this instance, Piqué wanted to speak, and he spoke to a crowd, a very mixed crowd of live national radio and television, and they came from all over the country. And he answered a question where somebody said to him, and there's a national radio station, what do you say to those who say that voting in the referendum as you did and playing for the Spanish team are incompatible? Now, it was a reasonable question, but it would have been more brave of the report to say, I think, rather than that cheap tactic of what do you say to people?
Right.
Well, come out and ask him the question directly. But that's when he spoke about his pride in Catalonia and said that he found that it was absolutely feasible, quite right for him to vote like he did, but continue playing for Spain because he's proud of playing for Spain. And he said there'll be people all over Spain who feel the same about democracy as I do, who feel the same about the actions of the state police as I do. And therefore, it is not the case that I can't continue. But if I do provide an obstacle or an obstruction to the benefit of the national team, as far as the Federation of the Coaches is concerned, then I'll step aside. So I just want to make the point, which I know you weren't promulgating that he said it on Monday or that he wants to leave, but he said it in response to a question, and he gave a balanced answer. And I'll tell you now, for Beyond the Pitch, that he wants to stay. He wants to qualify Spain for Russia, and he's amongst a group of players in that squad who think that they can win it. But beyond that, you asked the second part of that question there, which I think was to do with
the jingoistic response of the Spanish.
The jingoistic response. I really loved your phrase there, because there's no way of avoiding admitting that that's a very good adjective, adverb that you've used. But and listen, you lived through a situation that you detailed in your upbringing, and therefore, not only is your response just as much value as mine, perhaps more, but I have to say this now strongly. Las Palmas were within their rights to do that.
Sure.
They are a Spanish club.
Mm-hmm.
They put out a statement on their website before sewing the Spanish flag into the strip, which was the definition of articulacy, reasonableness, and included phrases like, we simply want to demonstrate that we think that Spain is better together. They noted that the last time this happened was umpteen years ago. I think the last time that they were in this situation, it was at Barcelona, perhaps when the dictator died, and there was a febrile atmosphere. And said, it's really ironic that here we are again, it's us that are visitors on referendum day. And they always, whatever their underlying strategy was, their words said, we want to express to Catalonia that we want this part of Spain. Now, number one, I buy their message. Number two, if the people in the streets who were being beaten by Spanish police were talking principally about freedom of speech and the right to an expressive opinion, I'm not having hypocrisy that it was illegitimate for a Spanish club to say, show that we want this country to remain unified, we're going to put a Spanish flag on our shirt. I'm not having that from anybody. But you may easily say, and you know, you may put me down and say it was purely provocative, that the timing was, well, okay, maybe what it's, in my view, so mm-hmm. it's an unstated truth that these clubs are Spanish.
Sure.
And they don't have to choose to say we want unity every week, because unity is a given, it's an assumed. Well, in the instance where one part of their country is trying to vote on whether they should leave or not, for them to say, Las Palmas, we want unity and here's our indication of that, that's freedom of expression. That to me is acceptable.
You know, living in America, being immersed in this argument over what freedom of expression actually means and what the First Amendment, the Second Amendment means, of course, with what happened in Las Vegas, there's, fortunately, in this country, the politics on both sides is immersed in hypocrisy, and everyone has their own idea of what freedom of speech should mean. And when someone's usually citing it to voice their opinion, it's usually laced with hypocrisy, and sadly we see it here all the time. We see people who want the right to freedom of speech, but the right to prohibit athletes' ability to have freedom of speech also. And if what symbolism means and what theatrical patriotism means and who gets to define patriotism and all these arguments about symbols, and it's madness. And it just seems to be...
I hear you, and I want to throw to you, given that you've picked up the baton and you've run with it, I want to throw back to you, and I'll be briefer this time, yes. Much briefer. I just say, Phil, that freedom of speech carries responsibility or
yes,
repercussions.
Of course.
Gerard Piqué felt that he was within his rights not only to vote, but to put his vote on social media, mm-hmm. and he has felt that he's been within his rights often in the past speak out against what he sees as... He has fiercely criticised Rajoy, the Prime Minister.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when he, in tears, said, but if I become a problem for the coach or the Federation, I will step aside. Whether or not anybody thinks well of Piqué, likes him, thinks he's a good footballer, despises him for his vote, which is an illegal act, irrespective of any of those things, there was a man who was willing to accept that when you exercise freedom of speech, it comes with obligations and there can be repercussions.
Of course.
I think I've grown up, and you've inspired that thought in me simply by talking about those who are hypocritical about the same idea in the country you live in.
Yeah, look, there's freedom of speech, and everyone has the consequences of freedom of speech, and people are also entitled to exercise the right to react to your opinion in the way that they want, and that's fair. Look, I when it comes to politics, Graham, I try to choose my words very, very carefully, because it's almost impossible to bring the topic up without getting some type of reaction from someone. And someone is going to get offended because people are so emotionally attached to their opinion and the way they see things. In America, politics and sport are completely entwined. There is no separation, and fortunately, it's all about who gets to define what respect is and what it isn't, and how cloudy your views become whenever it's someone you support who's disrespecting your views and someone you don't support. And there's other topics that I wouldn't get into on this show that that are a part of this discussion. But I look at Europe as a whole and see a lot of cultures, it's a continent made up of all these. Russia fell apart, Yugoslavia fell apart, East and West Germany fell apart, because it's very, very difficult whenever you've got all these different ideologies. And eventually, in the heart of every man, they want to be free, they want the right to self-determination, they want autonomy, and everyone has their own ideas of what that is. So it's and unfortunately, as you quite rightly say, it's impossible to separate this now. And I think eventually where this will go is the ECA will get involved. I know a gentleman out here, Charlie Stelitano, of course, who's had conversations on this. I think eventually the ECA will get involved, and this will become a European Super League. That seems to be eventually where the evolution of football will take us. We will see. But before I let you go, I want to just remind everyone, the Robbie Keane interview, folks, don't miss that. Because that is, you know, usually, obviously, listen, I've interviewed Robbie before myself, great guy. And it's not just the Robbie Keane interview. I don't know who you're connected to, but you're better connected than John Gotti, because the interviews you get, my man, are unbelievable.
I wish I had John's hidden millions, and maybe I'm connected to you, Phil, because if you can get me Greg Popovich, then given how he speaks and what he speaks about, then he'll do for me, man. In fact, can we have him as president pretty soon?
Oh my! You know, Greg Popovich is such an interesting guy. Very, very interesting. And one of the few people that we talk about freedom of speech and living with the consequences of freedom of speech, a guy that stands up and speaks his mind and doesn't play.
He spoke for me last week.
Yeah, he did for me too.
He spoke for me last week.
I stand behind everything that man says last week. So 100%. So, Graham, thank you so much.
Great experience. I've loved it. Thank you for the invite.
Explanation. Thank you so much, mate. And take care. Thanks, Graham.
Viva Beyond the Pitch.
Thanks, mate. Cheers. Bye.